You know, we are doing a study called Healing in the Gospel. And this is part two, or number two. Last Wednesday night, we looked at the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. Tonight, we're going to look at blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10. You know, today, many, many people, I know, when in our crusades, and Melissa and Rich and Christy, and I don't know who else was up there that's on the team, they'll tell you that when we do our healing service, and it makes no difference how big the crowd is, 600, 400, 500, whatever, over three quarters of the crowd gets up and gets in the healing line. I don't know, one church I remember we was at, we were doing the healing service, and I think there's only about 50, 60 people left, and everybody else, and it was, we had about 450 there, I think, and they were in the healing line, you know. And a lot of people, they know God's interested in their spiritual condition, but did you know that God is also interested in our physical condition? In fact, when he went to Calvary, he took stripes on his back. So as part of the redemptive plan, you know, and now but it's up to us to receive. You know, some people are waiting around for God to do something. Well, you know, let's look at blind Bartimaeus here for a minute. Go there, Mark 10:46, and we'll read. And it says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And we heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out, saying, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you.' Throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight,'" or "my rabbi," really, would be a better translation, "'that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Now, we're going to break this down and look at it. I'm just going to do a little teaching. It says here, "Now they came to Jericho," and he went out of Jericho. So that means he must have come in on one side, and now he's going out on the other side of Jericho. How many of you are old enough to remember when all the main highways came right down through the main street of the town? You know, any of you old enough to remember when that? Let me see your hands if you are. You know, right through the main, that's the old highways. Many towns have almost dried up and died because they built the interstates, and the interstate's 4 or 5 miles from the town, and nobody goes there anymore. If you want an interesting trip, go out through western Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, and drive old Highway 66, the portions of it that you can still drive. That's interesting. Okay, so he came into town. Now he went through town, and it says, "And as he went out of Jericho." Now, this blind man here says that his name was Bartimaeus. Now, if you do a little study on this, you'll find out that really, B-A-R, really just means son. And that's what it goes on to say, the son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. I don't know whether he had a name or not. They just called him son of Timaeus. That's what that actually means. Now, he is blind, probably been that way for a while. He evidently had nobody to support him, because he was sitting by the road begging, you know, sitting in the dirt, outside the city because he was considered a beggar, blind. He was considered unclean. Now, here we see that Jesus passing by. Now, I'm going to read several times from William Barclay's Daily Bible Study. He was probably considered the layman's theologian. Let me tell you who he was. He was born in Scotland in December 1907 and went home to be with the Lord in 1978. Now, he was a great Scottish New Testament interpreter and was well known in this country and abroad as a profound scholar, a writer of extraordinary gifts, a theologian's middleman for ordinary people everywhere. Dr. Barclay studied at the University of Glasgow and then in Germany, and then he was the minister at Trinity Church in Renfrew, Scotland. And after that, he for many years was a professor of divinity and biblical criticism at the University of Glasgow. Among his many books, New Testament Words is a companion to the Daily Bible Study. And it's, you know, that's one of the things I like about Rick Renner. Rick is what we would call a ordinary man's theologian. I mean, he knows it, but he can break it down where you can understand it. If you've ever sat in some of them classes and then they listen to some of them people talk, when you leave, what did he really say? So here they are. Now, here's what Barclay says about this portion of Scripture. He says here, my page is stuck. Okay. The main road ran right through Jericho. Jesus is on his way to the Passover. And when a distinguished rabbi or teacher was on such a journey, it was the custom that he was surrounded by a crowd of people, disciples and learners, who listened to him as he discoursed while he walked. That was one of the commonest ways of teaching. And many times when they would come through the town, many people would join them as they came into town, be with them as they went out of town, and then travel a little ways out of town with them, listening to the teacher teach. And this is what was going on whenever Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus. Now, here, it says, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. And now, I don't know how he heard. Evidently, he couldn't see, so evidently, the crowd caused him to grab a hold of somebody and ask him what's going on. Because that would have been the only way that he would have gotten known that it was Jesus of Nazareth without somebody told him. Okay? So here he is when he heard. He began to cry. Now, I don't know how much he knew about Jesus. He probably had heard that he is healing people, or he never would have cried out after him. Okay? And he said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, they warned him to be quiet, but he cried all the more. Now, I want you to notice, it says here, when he heard of Jesus, he recognized he had an opportunity. See, when you hear about healing, you need to recognize that this is an opportunity for you. Now, as we go through this, he took advantage of the opportunity. Now, we wait many times, and I'm going to digress here a little bit, and I'll get back on subject. I'll get back to this in a minute. Many people wait until a special service like we'll have tonight. I'll pray for the sick at the end. But really, the power of the Lord, that healing power is present all the time. And we'll probably talk about that one of these days. And you can get it. You don't have to wait. Now, then they had to wait till Jesus come by. Okay. Here, He didn't let people or anybody else keep him from hollering for help with Jesus. Now, here Barclay again says, Bartimaeus heard the tramp of feet. He asked what was happening and who was passing. He was told that it was Jesus. There and then, he set up an uproar to attract Jesus' attention. To those listening to Jesus' teachings, he walked. The uproar was an offense. They tried to silence Bartimaeus, but no one was going to take from him his chance to escape his world of darkness. And he cried so he cried with much violence, and that the procession stopped and he was brought to Jesus. Now I want you to notice that the reason that they were telling him to shut up, really, was he was causing such an uproar that they couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. Hello. You know, if somebody starts yelling over here somewhere, I can keep talking, and probably would, because I can get louder than they can't. I've done that before, right, hon? Yeah. And then expect the ushers to take care of it. But the people around would really want them to be quiet because they can't hear what I'm saying. Right? That's what was going on. But I want you to notice Bartimaeus didn't wait. He didn't wait for anything. He didn't wait and say, oh, well, maybe there'll be a sovereign manifestation. And he knows everything. He knows that I'm here. No, he actively pursued what he wanted from Jesus. See, that's another thing we can learn from this healing scripture. We need to actively pursue what the Word of God says that we can have. Don't wait for it to come to you. You go after it. Hello. In the mind of Bartimaeus, Barclay goes on to say, there wasn't just wishful, sentimental wishing to see Jesus. It was a desperate desire, and it was that desperate desire that gets things done. You know, he began to cry out and say, have Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on him. Now, he gave voice to his faith. He might not have known all there was to know about faith and know about Jesus. And he might not have had a perfect understanding of who Jesus was. But he didn't let any of that deter him from his goal of receiving healing. You know, he may have had a very inadequate idea of Jesus, Barclay goes on to say. But in spite of that, Bartimaeus had faith. Faith that made up a hundredfold for the inadequacies of his theology. The demand is not that we should fully understand Jesus, that in any event we can never do. The demand is for our faith. For our faith. You see, he said, they warned him, be quiet. In the end, you personally, your friends, your mom, your dad, your wife, your husband, you will make the decision of whether you're going to follow the Word of God or listen to what other people are saying. If he would have listened to what the other people were saying, if he was still alive, he'd still be sitting there. And I could have seen him a year ago this past June when we went to Israel. Because he wouldn't have gotten anything if he would have listened to the crowd. Be quiet. Shut up. You see, he had to choose regardless of what was being said, what was going on, what others were thinking. I'm going for what I know I can receive. Now, it says that he cried out all the more. Now, I read this. I haven't done the study of it. I don't know that I am not that versed in Greek, but I can read after people that are. And they say that there's two different words used here for these cries. The first is a normal shout out. Okay? Let me understand that. A normal shout out. Like if I would be just a normal shout out over there to Trip. Trip! But they said the second was a blood-curdling type somebody would give out with they were drowning or in immediate danger. I mean, it was a scream at the top of his voice. And they had told him, be quiet. Now, really, you can't shut faith up if people really believe. Now, if they're just hoping, well, they'll probably shut you down. But the cry of faith will always get his attention. It says that he stopped. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? When she touched him, he stopped. Said, who touched me? Touch of faith. Now, I want us to notice something here. In verse 49, the same people that was telling him to shut up are now saying, be of good cheer. He's calling you. Hey, human nature hadn't changed much, has it, over the years? And then in verse 50, there is an interesting statement. Throwing aside his garment. We in our world, we don't understand the significance of that garment. If you go do a little study, you'll find out that different people in different stations of life, the commanders and different ones, the priests, the different ones, they wore a different outer cloak or garment. This outer coat or garment said, I am an outcast. I am a blind beggar. I am no good to society. So that the significance of him leaving that garment is very important, because he is not supposed to go around without that garment. That garment told everybody he's an outcast. Don't even get close to him. Hello. That garment signified his condition. It said who he was. There are certain jobs today when you see the coat or uniform they have on, it signifies who they are. Now, what some of you probably don't know, if the doctors have coats on in the hospital, if it's a long coat, they're a full MD. If it's short, They're one of the interns or the residents that's in training. How many of you knew that? Probably y'all are in the medical field. I learned that as an associate pastor years ago. And then even you have to learn even the different, many times in many places, it's not as much as it used to be. The a nurse that was in one capacity would have certain kind of uniform, the other one would have another kind of uniform. I don't know how it goes now, but that used to be in effect anyway. But you see, they said who they are. Many ministers wear the collar. Says who they are, right? Okay, throwing aside his outer garment. I think not only it represented his faith. He said, I'm not going to need this anymore. This is not who I'm going to be anymore. So I don't need it. It's staying right here in the dirt. It's staying here. It's set here in this dirt for these years, and now it's going to stay here because I ain't coming back. See, this is an attitude of faith that we need to get a hold of. He is saying, I am no longer going to need this. Now, it says he rose and came to Jesus. That means he exerted some effort. You know, some people want everything easy. They don't want to exert no effort for nothing. They never get nothing either. Friend of mine, well, he's the one that caused us to lose the race. I never forgot it when we run into the state track meet. His senior picture says, I love work. I could sit and watch it for hours. That's what he didn't work hard enough whenever we were working out for track, and he messed us all up, man. We sort of upset at him. I guess they still are. I saw one of them 1 year later. He rose and came to Jesus. He went to receive what he wanted. Now, I want you to notice something else here in 51 and 52. Now, somebody said, well, you're doing a little different with these. Yeah, this is what you call... Teaching scripture on scripture, expository type teaching rather than the other kind I normally do. Okay, now when he got to Jesus, Jesus asked him a question. What do you want? Or what do you want me to do for you? I want you to notice he didn't stammer, he didn't stutter, he didn't say, well, now you know what I need, Lord, whatever you feel like I need. No, he was very emphatic and very, very quick to respond, I want to see. I'm going to say it our language. Immediately, Jesus answered him and said, go your way, your faith made you whole, or made you well. And immediately he received his sight. Blind Bartimaeus had to come to Jesus. And when he asked him this question, I don't think that he was asking it just to be asking it, to get information. I think that he wanted to see, okay, he left his garment. Was he just acting on emotion? Was that just wishful thinking? Or has he really got faith? But see, he demonstrated immediately. How many understand what I'm talking about? He knew exactly what he wanted, and he went after it. Barclay again says that he knew precisely what he wanted inside. Too often, people have admiration for Jesus, and it's a vague attraction. Now, when you go to a dentist, do you say, well, just pull my teeth? No, you tell him to pull. You want the diseased tooth pulled. You don't want all of them pulled. You're specific, right? You go to the doctor, I got a pain right here. Check me over, doc, and then if you find out something, then maybe we can deal with it. No, you didn't go there because you wanted him to check. You went there because there's a pain, and you told him where it was. Specifically. God will answer when you know specifically. A characteristic of genuine faith is that it focuses specifically on what it wants. If you ever heard my dad preach, he would tell the story, and I've seen him do it as a kid, and you know, we had in our church, in those little Pentecostal church, you had what we called an altar bench. Anybody ever in a church have altar benches? Even the Baptist church used to have altar benches back in the day, right? How many of you remember that? Yeah. Now, in those churches, after a preacher gets through, like tonight, on a Wednesday night, a Sunday night, after a preacher gets through preaching, and he would minister to whoever, then everybody would come to the altar and pray, and when you got through praying, you got up and went home. How many of you remember that? Oh, I got some people old enough to do that. You probably was younger, but you still remember it. Now, my dad used to go down the altar. What are you praying for? Oh, Brother Hagin, nothing in specific. He said, that's what you're going to get, nothing specific. I'm serious. I was about, you know, 8, 9 years old. I still remember it. One lady looked up at him when he said that, and he told her that. She said, oh, nothing in particular. I'm just praying. He said, that's what you're going to get, nothing in particular. And she looked like he'd hit her or something, you know. And he used to say to people all the time, go find in the Word of God what you need and be specific about it. And if you need finances, don't go read scriptures on healing. I've heard him say it hundreds of times to people. If you need finances, don't go read scriptures on healing. If you need protection, don't go read scriptures about heaven. That ain't what you need right now. How many understand where I'm coming from? The Word of God has all of this. We just got to go find it. Go get it. Now, I want you to notice, God has not made it hard to receive healing. We don't have to earn it. You couldn't in the first place. We don't have to reach a certain level, a faith level. All you got to do is believe. Said, all things are possible to him that can and will believe. You know, no amount of work ever qualify you to receive anything. It's all given by faith. Even salvation was given to you by faith. Go read it. That's what it says. And it says, immediately he received his sight. You see, he still had to take it. He had to accept it. You will see me many times in the healing line. And Rich and them have heard me say it. And my wife's heard me say it many, many times. And I'll be laying hands on people. Some of you probably heard me say it right here in the healing services. I'll be laying hands on people and I say, take it, take it, take it. Anybody ever heard me say that? You know why I'm saying that? Because I can feel that healing power, but it's not being received. And it won't do anything until you grab a hold of it. Your faith, that's why I keep telling people. You got the woman with the issue of blood last week. He said, power went out of her, but he said her faith made her whole. Here, he told Bartimaeus, your faith has made you well. Jesus is still asking us that question. What do you want me to do for you? He'll do whatever you need done. Go find it in the Word. Tonight we're talking about healing. Tonight he's saying, what do you want? You want healing? How many want healing tonight? Stand up if you want healing tonight. I've been long enough. Okay? Anybody get anything out of this tonight? See, we need to begin to, now we look at these scriptures and we, y'all come on down here and line up, the guys will help you. We look at these scriptures and sometimes we don't analyze everything that went on. When you begin to analyze this, he was determined to get healed. And he did everything that he needed to do to get his healing, right? And then he received it. I'm going to lay hands on these people in a few moments. And when I do, the healing power of God will go into them. And let me say this, you that are getting in line, listen to what I'm saying. I started preaching when I was in October 1958. I preached from then to 77. I laid hands on the sick according to what the Bible says. Believers lay hands on the sick and they come recover. But that night, that Sunday night, 77, March, I believe it was, the Lord said to me, I'm going to start using you with gifts of healings. And so from then, I started praying with that, which we will minister with tonight. Now, I'm not always, that's a special anointing, and you prepare yourself a little different to receive it. I can lay hands on sick anytime because that's what the Bible said, but not with the special anointing according to 1 Corinthians 12. Then back in the mid-90s, I began to feel this warmth in my hand, and I asked the Lord what it was because I was getting ready for my healing service, and he said, that's that healing anointing. Whenever you lay hands on people, if they take it, you can feel it go out into them. If they don't take it, it comes back. And that's why I say take it, take it, take it, because I realize they're not taking it. You in this line, I want you to get ready to receive. I want you to forget about everybody and everything else. I don't care who's beside of you, who's not behind you, or anything else. Forget it. And get ready to receive your healing. It said he immediately received his healing. Get ready to receive your healing. We've gotten a report. One report last Wednesday night. I don't know whether you remember over here on this side. I laid hands on a couple with a baby. And the baby couldn't hear. And they said they started snapping their fingers and it could hear. Another lady had arthritis in her joints. She couldn't hardly move it, and immediately she was fine. I got another report as I came in. Somebody said it was verified that they were healed last Wednesday night. Get ready to be healed tonight. Don't be concerned what happens or what don't happen. That's not important. Take your healing. Hello? If there's a manifestation, there's a manifestation. If there's not, there's not. Who cares? What we're looking for is healing. You want healing, right? Then take healing. Everybody else in the crowd, stand up. Be singing with these people or reaching out and praying with me as I pray for people right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Receive.
I believe.
Receive. God for the healing power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Stretch your hands out toward this cloth. Father, I thank you right now. We lay hands on this cloth. That healing anointing is going into this cloth. Those emotional needs will be met. Whatever the physical needs, it just says physical healing, Father. Whatever they are, be healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. You see, some people think that somebody got something because they fall or they stagger back. Hadn't got anything to do with it. It's whether they received or not. Most of the time, the reason somebody falls, somebody said, why they fall? Well, if the supernatural comes in contact with the natural, something's got to give, and it's sure not going to be the natural. And then it's real interesting sometimes to watch people when I touch them. I mean, you think I'd touch them with electricity or something. Yeah, it's not going to be the supernatural that gives. Did I say it wrong? Okay. I have one time, and I don't even look for it. If you see, this is where people start building doctrines. One time I started to lay hands on a person, and I got my hand about that far from their forehead, and I saw like a spark that jumped and hit them in the forehead. They went sailing backwards. And somebody said, well, why do some people react more than others? The only thing I've been able to come at, up with is their faith is stronger. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. You can have 110 electricity, or you can have 220 or 440. Hello? And the stronger the voltage, the more damage it's going to do if you hit you or hit something else. That's the way I have explained it. I mean, it's sort of not biblical. I couldn't prove it by the Bible. I'm just proving it by me. That's my interpretation. That's Hagen interpretation right there. And it's as good as anybody else's. Amen. Did you get anything tonight? Listen, anywhere, anytime, healing power is available. All you got to do is reach up and plug into it. Amen. Hey, connection team, go find our first time guests. Take them to get that. Oh, anybody that was in the healing line, you can check yourself right now. You can check it. And you know right now that you're healed. Let me say, wave your hand at me. Oh, I see a hand over. I see several hands over here. Praise the Lord. Over here. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you, you're a whole lot better? Let me see your hands. Hey, keep the switch of faith turned on. Remember in the Word of God, some got healed instantly. Some were healed as they went. Some began to amend from that hour. So you just keep saying, the power of God went into my body to effect a healing and a cure. You keep saying it till the full manifestation comes. Amen. Hey, Sunday morning, don't forget, Rick Renner will be here. It's going to be great. Come believing, come expecting. We're going to get the service to him as quick as possible to give him as much time as we can. If you need prayer for salvation, a rededication of your life, or you want to be prayed for receive the Holy Spirit, or you want somebody to agree with you for a job, we already done healing, so praise the Lord, we got that taken care of. But you want prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. Amen. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to be the one that always gets my healing because I believe God. You're dismissed. God bless you. Sunday morning right here at 10 o'clock. God bless.